So it gave you a little bit of easing into what I'm about to say.
Praise God.
Luke chapter 12, verse number 40 says, "Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not." I want to read it one more time. "Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not." Praise God. You can be seated again tonight. It's that scripture is kind of like Titus's quote of scripture. He never even thought that would happen tonight. Did you? You never even thought. See, in an hour you think not. So in other words, it's not when you're going to be thinking good things about heaven. It's not going to be when you're on the cloud number 9 in a church service, so it could be. But Jesus said, in an hour you think not. In other words, you are not even going to be thinking about when it's going to happen. But be ready. A lot of times we beat ourselves up sometimes. Oh man, I didn't think about the coming of the Lord today. I didn't think about the coming of the Lord today. And that's not really where it's at. Where it's at is the fact that you are living for the Lord every day. Hallelujah. You are striving to have that preeminence of Jesus Christ in our lives. And so thus we will be ready when the Lord comes. Because it's going to, even to you and I, in an hour that you think not, that's when he's going to come. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 6 says, "Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober." Now that scripture is not admonishing you to stay up all night long, night after night, after night, after night, and never get rest for your body. You know, I mean, some people, they may have looked at that like that, but it is talking about not paying attention, not focusing, not realizing what's going on. In other words, you know, how many's ever had the sleepies? How many's ever had sleepies while you're driving down the road? You know, you see the white line on the side of the road. You see it. You know it's there, but it's like it's fading into the sunset, you know. And all of a sudden it's... And you're gently pulling the steering wheel back over to the other direction because you realize you just run off the road. And you have learned to do it like that because if you jerk that thing, you're going... And you're just almost going to crash. That's how a lot of accidents actually happen, because people overreact. So therefore, let us not sleep. In other words, let's be focused. So let us watch. Let us be sober. It's talking about being focused. It's talking about understanding. It's talking about paying attention. Wow. Paying attention. Paying attention. Paying attention. I'm waiting till I get everybody's eyes looking on me, because some ain't paying attention. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm sorry, but as a preacher up here behind the pulpit, and as you're looking out and you're preaching, you're seeing that some folks are just looking around. Watch Tiernan. He's giving us a perfect example at this moment, right now. Praise the Lord. He's doing it on purpose. That's all right. That's funny. I like that. Hallelujah. And then you just kind of look around. And you're looking to see if there's any actual white in the eyes, or whether it's just fully eyelid. And see, you know, Matthew, when he was the Grinch, he had eyes on his eyelids. I think he's doing that in church tonight too, but I'm not for sure. Praise God. Woo! Glory. Paying attention, watching, being sober. What I'm preaching on tonight is the seriousness of the hour. The seriousness of the hour. We are living in a moment of time, an hour of time. The Lord spoke to us this morning about the times and the seasons. There's a plan. God's got a plan for everything. Do you realize the Heavenly Father knows exactly when the trumpet's going to sound? He has got a plan for it. He's got a time for it. He's got a season for it. He knows exactly when it's happening. Nobody else in heaven does. But Jesus Christ gave us insight. The Word of God gives us insight. The Holy Ghost gives us insight. Matthew 24, beginning at verse number 36. But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But, so he gives us insight. But, so that means pay attention, be sober, watch. Nobody knows the day nor the hour, but as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that they were before the flood, they were eating. We have a lot of that going on today, do we not? Drinking. We are not doing that. Marrying and giving in marriage until that day, the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came, took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. So we kind of got an insight in the next verse that he's talking about the rapture. Then shall two be in the field, and one shall be taken, the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, and one shall be taken, the other left. Watch therefore, focus, pay attention, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. When he's speaking about the days of Noah, I don't know that he really in this portion of Scripture is talking about the wickedness of the days of Noah, but that is something to think about. But he's talking about how the fact that Noah preached righteousness for 100 to 120 years while he was building that ark, he preached righteousness and nobody paid a bit of attention to what Noah was saying. They all saw what he was doing, but after 100 years or so, they quit paying attention to that. Do you realize we're about 100, we're a little bit over 100, 120 years on the high side of the outpouring of the Holy Ghost in the early 1900s? The revival of the Spirit of God moving among the churches again, and the Pentecostal church was kind of reestablished, in 1900, right around there, and now we're at 2022. That's like 120 years after the fresh outpouring of the Holy Ghost, bringing forth a great revival across the land. See, I don't know if we've got it quite right. A lot of people are talking about a great revival. I think we've already had it. And we're looking at a great falling away. Because that's what we're having. That's what we're having. We know, you probably know people, I know people who used to be faithful in church. But now as we see the hour coming, they're not. Whoa, what's going on? They're not entering into the revival that is already here. Woo! It doesn't take anything to have revival. It just takes one individual ready to surrender to the Holy Ghost and let the Holy Ghost have his way, and revival begins to happen. Hallelujah. That's why revival can be in any church service that you and I have. It's just a matter of when we really get serious about letting the Holy Ghost move in our hearts, our minds, our lives. Taking us back down memory lane, Brother Lucas, to remember, hallelujah, when I got saved, washed in the blood, newness of life. My old life passed before my eyes. Newness of life came alive. Hallelujah. My life's never been the same since. Glory to God. And I don't want it ever to be the same as it was without Christ. Woo, hallelujah. And so we see then the fire has to maintain a burning power, because as you look around, and it really astounds me, as really as shaky as our economy is and how much things cost. And don't misunderstand me, I'm not against eating out, but it costs a lot to eat out anymore. It costs a lot at McDonald's to eat out anymore. The price of food has went up. But as I drive down the city streets where all the restaurants are on a Friday evening, They're all packed eating and drinking and not even thinking about the coming of the Lord. That's signs for you and I to look upon and see and understand the nearness of the return of Christ. Hallelujah. Because it astounds me. I mean, we have seen some powerful moves of God in this sanctuary. Hallelujah. But I also know people that have been in that move of God that are not really serving God. And you would wonder, how on earth? Woo! Because it all boils down still to that choice, that choice, making that choice of whether I'm going to be ready when the Lord comes or I'm going to be about doing what I want to do. I'm going to get caught up in what's going on in the world, doing what the world is doing. Oh, my. What's the world doing? They're not paying attention. You realize you can be worldly and not do a worldly thing or deed? Because the child of God watches and is sober, makes wise decisions. The child of God seeks the Lord and wants direction from God. The world just goes about doing what they want to do, when they want to do it, how they want to do it, and especially if it feels good. Woo! I trust you're not living your life like that. Hallelujah. That's not a child of God. That's a child of the world. Mm-mm. Look out, Jesus. Look out, Jesus. What? Look out, Jesus. Yeah. Yeah, because we're fighting against you. You better look out. Oh, yeah. Oh, I'd never fight against Jesus. Oh, come on now. Don't pull my leg. Yeah. How many times has the preaching really made you mad? How many times has the Word of God really irritated you? Hello? You're not fighting the pastor. You're fighting Jesus. Oh, my. What did he tell Saul of Tarsus that day? Why do you kick against the pricks? Oh, why do you not listen to me? Why do you not surrender to me? Why do you not follow me? That makes Christianity real difficult when we're not following the King. Makes it a drudgery. It kind of makes it like, you know, I just can't find any joy being a Christian. I'm sorry. If you ain't finding any joy being a Christian, then you ain't one yet. Hello? Praise God. Oh, praise God. You don't have that spot. You can go back and say, this is where Jesus brought me the joy. This is where Jesus brought me the peace. This is where Jesus changed my life. Hallelujah. I know my children, they both got saved when they were young. But I got news for you. That doesn't take you all the way to 32. Hallelujah. When children get saved when they're young, it's a good thing, it's a right thing, and it happens. But when they reach that age of accountability, there's got to be a brand new commitment, a brand new dedication, and a brand new surrender. So if you're a childhood salvation and you haven't met that place of a brand new commitment, a brand new surrender, and a brand new dedication, then you're past due one. Because just getting saved when you're little, you don't fully understand anything about God's salvation other than Jesus died for my sins. And there's far more to it than that. There is a full-fledged keeping him the preeminence in our lives. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm not depending on that day that I got saved as my final testimony of my salvation. Amen. Because today was a brand new day, and today was a brand new commitment. I don't know what you do on your way to church, but on my way to church, I make brand new commitments to God because we're coming to the house of God, and I want to be everything God wants me to be, say everything God wants me to say, and do everything God wants me to do. I want to play my part, hallelujah, in God's worship, God's praise, God's preaching, God's teaching, and hearing what the Spirit of God. So I'm praying on the way to church. And I'm not praying for you, I'm praying for me, because I want to be what he wants me to be. What is that? That's watching and being sober and realizing, hallelujah, the coming of the Lord is at hand, and I don't have a lot of moments to spare. Woo, praise God, I've got to make them count, redeem the time, hallelujah, because the days are evil. And so we see here then, they weren't paying a bit of attention to what was going on in Noah's life. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. The Lord spoke to Noah. The Lord communicated with Noah. We are not for sure how that really transpired or how that really happened, but God gave him the pattern for the ark. He didn't tell Noah to go build the ark without giving him how to build it. Got a call on your life? Well, you're not building your own boat. You're not building your own boat. You're not building your own ministry. God's call on your life is a call of surrender. It's a call of availability. It's a call of doing His will and not your own. Hallelujah. It's not necessarily a call just to preach. It's not necessarily a call just to teach. It's not necessarily a call just to minister in some form or fashion. It is a call to surrender. It is a call to become a servant of the Lord. Paul, a servant of the Lord. Paul's ministry. Why was Paul's ministry so vast? Because he understood what the call meant. It meant becoming all things to all men that I might win some. Woo! It didn't mean I'm going to be a pastor. It didn't mean I'm going to be an evangelist. It didn't mean I'm going to be this. It didn't mean I'm going to be that. Just called to be a minister of the Lord, a preacher of the gospel. A preaching of the gospel doesn't necessarily mean it's going to take place here. It's going to take place in your life. Woo, hallelujah. Why? Because we're watching, we're sober, we're paying attention, we realize, hallelujah, that we need to be preaching the gospel wherever we are, wherever we go, whatever we're doing, because the time is at hand. The coming of the Lord is upon us. Now, in Genesis 6 and 5, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. So if you want to look at when Jesus said, as the days of Noah, as the conditions of the hearts of men, we've got a good parallel going on. Because there's nothing but evil going on in our country. Let me rephrase that. There's a lot of evil going on, but there's still a lot of children of God trying to push back against it. Hallelujah. Praise be to our God. But can you even try to fathom in your mind what it's going to be like in this world when the church is gone? Because the only goodness you're going to find in this world right now is somebody that believes. Somebody that believes in Jesus Christ and are trying in some shape, form, or fashion to put their lives like Jesus would. Not everybody's getting it done to the fullness, but because not everybody has the full knowledge like most of us do. Woo. To whom much is given, much is required. Praise be to our God. So we see that evil is upon us and wickedness is upon us, and we have it in high places. They are trying to force evil upon us. But we're fighting tooth and toenail. Praise God. Matthew 24:12, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Hallelujah. So I asked you how many fought a battle this week. Because that's where it's at. If I'm not fighting against something, then I'm not doing anything. Woo! I have to endure. Endure hardness as a good soldier, Paul told Timothy. 2 Timothy 3:1, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. This is what we were talking about. Where's the preeminence? As we get down through this, you're going to find that he's actually talking about church folks. Not talking about the world. He's talking about church folks. Perilous times, even when church folks, I'm going to put it in there like that because that's who he's addressing and what he's talking about. For church folks shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness. This is why I know he's talking about quote-unquote church people. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sin, led away with divers lusts, ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. He's talking about, quote unquote, church. Wow. We don't see a whole lot of it anymore. It's kind of laid low. But the Pensacola phenomenon, the Brownsville revival, two different names of a fad, a movement of demonic source, because I saw it with my own eyes. And I also saw how many people thought it was God. People I even knew personally. I watched it. I observed it. I preached against it. I watched it move through every church in this city, bringing nothing but havoc, fornication, adultery, divorce, everywhere it went. And it was called the moving of God. This is what Paul was talking about, where they are doing their own thing and it promotes nothing but sin, promotes nothing but lust, promotes nothing but anything what except what God wants done, about denying ourselves, taking up our cross and following Jesus. And the reason we fully know it, because they're ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. That means they didn't deny the scriptures, they didn't deny the Lord, but they were not living, they weren't being sober, they weren't watching, they weren't paying attention, they got sucked right on in to lying and deceiving spirits. That's kind of passed from the scene. It has wrought its work to where now most people that encountered that are backslid, and they have no desire for truth. I'm trying to get us to understand the seriousness of the hour. This is why we can't get them to come visit the church, because they've seen the nonsense and what it wrought, and it did not affect lives. Oh, their testimonies were healings. Their testimonies were deliverances. That's not what was happening. The testimonies were no healing, no deliverance, and full bondage into the flesh, into sin. And then that's why people, what did it do? If you will, it literally gave a bad taste in the mouths of people. And they said, if that's God, it doesn't do any good. And that's exactly what the enemy was after. That's why your work and my work is 3, 4, 5-fold harder than it ever was before to win somebody to Jesus Christ. And that's why it's going to have to be, as Brother Timmy said, we're going to have to take it to them. Hallelujah. It's going to have to be personal. It's going to have to be one-on-one. They're going to have to see that power of God in our lives, that love of God in our lives, that readiness of heart. They're going to have to see the goodness of God to where when they encounter us, it leaves them scratching their head like, wow. I didn't think this existed anymore. Woo! Because most people don't think it does. That's why they don't come. I always ponder as I'm driving to church, there ain't a soul on the road. Of course, I realize I come earlier than most folks, but there ain't anybody on the road. There ain't hardly anybody out and about. Nobody gets up early on Sunday morning. Now, Saturday morning, you'll find them. If you come up early, you'll find them at the donut shop. You'll find them at Jiffy Mart. You'll find them getting ready to go do whatever they're going to do on Saturday. Come Sunday morning, ain't nobody. The street down Main Street, maybe one. Or they ain't even people in the gym working out. Sunday morning. I don't know whether you've got this excuse or not. Well, you know, Sunday's the only day I have off. And we kind of like to do what we want to do on Sunday. Lovers of selves more than lovers of God. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I believe in Jesus. Church? No. No. I don't think I need to go to church. Mm. Mm. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. See, we're in that hour. 2 Thessalonians 1:7. And to you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. See, judgment's coming. We need to share that too. Hallelujah. I mean, God loves this world. He sent his son to die for this world. He is the Savior of the world. But when everybody has rejected him, then he's going to judge this world. He's going to judge this world. Jude 1:3. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me that I write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. That means they contradict him or refuse to acknowledge his lordship. Once again, he's talking about quote unquote church people, churches that take the gospel message and pervert it and turn it around to where it becomes grace is for lasciviousness. Hang on with me, because that mentality has crept into this church. Hang on with me, because we think it's easier to go fail and come back and get forgiveness than it is to overcome. Yeah, we got to be careful. We'll get that mentality. Well, you know, God's grace cover this. I know I shouldn't do it, but I'll come back and I'll ask for forgiveness. That ain't right. That's willful disobedience. That's sin. Yes, if I come back and ask, God will forgive me and the blood of Jesus can cleanse me fresh and anew, but I'm missing the mark because the grace of God, that same power, that same grace, is there in front of the sin. So that I can be an overcomer, more than a conqueror, through Jesus Christ, my Lord and my Savior. But they have turned the grace of God into lasciviousness. Don't make any difference how you live, as long as you believe Jesus is a Savior. That's a lie from the pits of hell. Because Jesus Christ becomes your Savior, your life's going to change. Hallelujah. Oh, that grace of God's going to begin to teach. That grace of God's going to begin to transform. That grace of God is going to bring me into godly, holy, righteous living. Hallelujah. I'm not saved by that. I'm saved by the blood of the Lamb, but that blood of the Lamb has power to transform lives. That was the whole purpose of it, so we can get back to living godly. Folks have forgot that part of the gospel. That's why I'm letting us know here tonight the seriousness of the hour. The coming of the Lord is at hand. Hallelujah. And we want to make sure that we're being sober. We're watching. We're living ready for the rapture. Because we don't know when it's going to happen, but we know it's going to happen any moment. Because everything that's going on all around us. 1 Peter 4:1, for as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh. Ah, here's a weapon. Arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin. Woo. That means I got to discipline my life? Man, I can't just, kind of just do whatever I want to do? Whoa. Because the only way I'm going to cease from sin is by suffering. Whoa. Ceasing from sin is not something that is not painful. How many's ever heard this terminology? I know you've heard it. I know you have because I've said it 100 times. No pain, no gain. Yep. If you can't suffer your flesh and deny your flesh, then you'll be prone to sin quicker than anybody else. Because it takes discipline. Hallelujah. It takes a denying of self. It takes a mortifying. Glory to God. I mean, here we can arm. What are we going to arm? If it was as easy as picking up the newest revolver, their newest semi-automatic pistol, so we could shoot sin. Pow, 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 pow. The only thing we got is our 66 shooter. Woo, hallelujah to the left. That's going way back. Praise God. Some of you don't even know what we're talking about, but praise God. That's way back. Hallelujah. We've been here 20 years. Praise God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. So here we see, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. Your attitude. So, however you think, that's how you will do. Yeah. So arm yourself tonight and realize that you're going to have to deny yourself to cease from sin. That he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. You realize this is transpiring in the mind, which is the straight way to the heart. Amen. The mind and the heart are connected. Hallelujah. For the time past of your life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles. When we walked in lasciviousness and lust, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that ye run not with them to that same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. When's the last time somebody spoke evil of you because you were doing good? Who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead? That's Jesus Christ. For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that were dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. We were talking about this afternoon. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober, watch unto prayer. Sister Pepper reminded us, prayer is important. Tuesday night is designated prayer night. Prayer is important. Family prayer is important. I'm reemphasizing that again here from this pulpit tonight. Amen. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves. For charity covereth the multitude of sins. Charity among yourselves. Charity suffereth not. Thinketh no evil. How quick do you get mad at a brother or sister because they didn't do something you liked? That ain't charity. Sorry. Forbearing. Endeavoring. Hallelujah. I looked that up one time. That forbearing, endeavoring. Anybody in here ever took your bottom lip and pulled it up over your head and touched the ground behind you? Yeah, yeah, Sister Pepper probably can. That's what that word endeavoring means. That you're going to go to all the effort, just like you would take your bottom lip, pull it up, and put it on the ground. Do you work that hard about forgiving somebody that quick? That's what it means. Next time somebody offends you and they don't even know they did, most of the time that's how it works. Grab your bottom lip and start pulling on it. And realize it's time to forgive. You may think that's funny, but until you've suffered in the flesh, you haven't ceased from sin. That hurts. And we think that's funny, but sometimes that's exactly what we need to do, because otherwise we ain't going to think about it, and we'll go on thinking the wrong way. Until we flick a little pain to our flesh and we wake up to what we're doing, we won't change our minds. Woo! We just don't have that power. Even when the Holy Ghost deals with us, sometimes we just got to pull that lip. Say, that's God. Flesh, take that. It's God. That's not just the preacher. That's God speaking to my heart, and I got to do something about it. Ooh. Well, it still hurts. Oh. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Don't you love it when you do good, you're hospitable, and you get home and all you do is gripe and complain about it? Well, they mean like, you missed it. You didn't suffer in the flesh any. I'm sorry, but I've lived for the Lord 39 years, and it's been a battle from day one. Hallelujah. I've got a lot of stories and war stories I can share, and most of it is just killing me. Amen. Sometimes that old man's a hard guy to get a beat on. Oh, no, it's their fault. See? You see what? Yeah. Always try to kill somebody else for our own mistakes. Oh, my, help me, Jesus. You realize that's where most gossip comes from, don't you? That's where most lies come from. Anybody ever embellish a story? You know, that way it makes you look better, you know. But you know what I'm talking about, right? I caught the big one that got away. Oh yeah. We embellish the story sometimes to make us look better, like we were really spiritual and we really blew it, is what we did. Help us, Jesus. The seriousness of the hour. See, we've got to bring it down a little tighter than that. Hallelujah. Now, these boys were running yesterday. I'm proud of them. They need the exercise. They can barely move today. I can relate to that. I didn't run, and I can still barely move today. But how many are ready to run your last mile home? Not physically, spiritually. To start putting a little pain to the old man so that new man can be stronger and run faster. And do the will of God as we see the hour ticking away. Because at the moment appointed, it's going to happen. See, there's no doubt in my mind, the trumpet is about to sound. The coming of the Lord is at hand. We are 2,000 years plus past the death, burial, crucifixion of Jesus Christ, the ascension of Jesus Christ, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. We just had a brand new outpouring of the Holy Ghost in the early 1900s, and it brought great revival. I mean great revival. almost every Pentecostal church denomination that you know about was birthed in that point in time. I trust you understand and you realize the Pentecostal church wasn't birthed in 1901. It was birthed the day of Pentecost. But somewhere along the way, they lost it all. Except for a few people all along the way who continued to seek God. Just like there was Mary and Joseph. Just like there was Zechariah and Elizabeth at the coming of the birth of Jesus Christ. But yet the whole world lay in darkness. But there were still a few candles burning. And so it was even before the early 1900s. There were still a few candles burning. Not everybody had lost grip of a personal relationship with God. Go back and review the history of the King James Version Bible. Review the lives of the men that laid down their lives so that the Word of God could be put in normal people's hands. They lost their lives. Hallelujah. I believe, if my memory serves me right, it was either William Tyndale or John Wycliffe who was sitting in his room waiting to be burned at the stake. And there was people that were trying to plead with him, save your life, deny the Lord, save your life, quit this fight. And of course, they had candles for light that day. He just stuck his finger out in the midst of that flame of that candle and held it there. He said, I don't fear the flame. And it didn't do a thing to his hand. Now that's a man who knew God. I didn't have all the convenience and all the luxuries that we have here today. Now he was in a prison dungeon waiting to be burned at the stake because it was his burning desire to put God's word in the hands of the common man so they could know him like he knew him. Praise God. And they burned him alive because of that. And as he was burning at the stake, his last prayer was, God, open the eyes of the king. And there he joyfully surrendered the ghost to God. Ooh, hallelujah to the Lamb. Praise be to God. And it wasn't long after that the king decreed. No, the king wasn't a godly man. He was doing it to gain prestige and power, and he saw what the people wanted, and he realized, I need to capitalize on this. But that's how God works sometimes. He used an ungodly king to get his word translated into the English language. Woo! What was going on there? It was an answer to prayer of that man of God who burned at the stake, giving his life so that could happen. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to the King. Revelation 22 and verse 20. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. I've been saved by grace. I am kept by grace. And I will overcome by grace. Hallelujah. Glory to our God. What is that grace? That is when I start calling on God for that power I need to afflict pain to my flesh. Hallelujah. To suffer in my flesh. Hallelujah. That I can cease from sin. If you can't suffer in the flesh, you will not cease from sin. That's just the other side of that coin. Those that suffer in the flesh have ceased from sin. If you're not suffering in the flesh, you're not ceasing from sin. You know, it's got a hold of you, and you're not ready to take the great effort to get it crucified. Woo, hallelujah. You know, there's all kinds of people burning in fire tonight because they weren't ready to afflict any pain. They weren't ready to suffer in their flesh. They weren't ready to deny themselves. And now all they can imagine in their minds is all the times they had opportunity and they could have done that. But now it's too late. Now it's too late. Choose you this day whom you will serve. I'm surprised somebody didn't quote that tonight. Joshua chapter 24, verse 15. You know, put on the wall almost every home. especially when you first get saved. I mean, that's what you put on the wall. I don't know if we still got it on the wall, probably somewhere in one of the rooms. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Hallelujah. Not the fullness of all that scripture. It says, you know what, if you want to serve the gods on the other side of the flood, you want to serve the gods of your fathers, I mean, go for it. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Hallelujah. That is a statement of faith. That is a statement of courage. That is a statement of consecration. That is a statement of dedication. That is a statement that I am ready to die to myself. Let's stand together. Father in heaven, I praise your holy name. I thank you, God, for your word. I thank you, Lord God, for your Holy Ghost. God, that quickens our hearts. Lord, speaks to our souls. Helps us, Lord, to see. Helps us to understand. Oh, God, your word is spiritually discerned, oh, Lord. And that's why we want to be filled with your spirit. We want to walk in your spirit. We want to learn the voice of your spirit, God, so that your word can come alive in our hearts, in our minds, so that we can perform it. Hallelujah, that we can live in it. We can abide in it, oh, God. I pray, Lord God, that you would continue to stir our hearts and stir our minds this night, Lord, realizing the seriousness of the hour. You warned us already this morning by a manifestation of your Holy Ghost, reminding us, oh Lord God, to be ready, reminding us not to get distracted, reminding us, Lord, to serve you and put you in the preeminence of our actions, our deeds, our decisions. God, I pray, Lord, meet us around this altar here tonight, God, and continue, Lord, to speak great fathoms, Lord, to us personally on a personal plane, right where each and every one of us are living, God, the steps we need to take right now, Lord, for victory in our lives so we can go on forward letting our light shine. Father, we give you praise. Father, we give you praise. We thank you, Lord, for the greatest gift the world's ever known, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Thank you, Lord, for this great salvation. Lord, thank you for the mighty works that you are doing, Lord God, in this house, oh Lord God, and in your believers all around the world. God, meet us at these altars. Amen. These altars are open here tonight, church. Hallelujah. Let's come. Let's rejoice in our God. Let's rejoice in our salvation. Hallelujah. And let's allow the Spirit of God to speak expressly to our hearts and to our minds, encouraging us to continue to go forward, conquering, fighting, striving. Praise be to God to be victorious in our Lord and Savior.